Hello, this is Api from Team Envious, and you are listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Hello. The date, May 27th, 2019. The time, 8:55 p.m., starting a little late, but it's Memorial Day. We had family stuff. You know how it goes. This is episode 159, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. This will be the best episode ever. This is the, for new listeners, in case you didn't know, episode one of new TCR without Brett. As he is no longer part of the show, we fired him. We said, look, dude, you're out. You're out. So we still have a Nuge, though. Hello, Nuge.
What up, bud? How are you?
What up? What up?
We're kind of looking for, like, we need a certain physique, right? We're looking for people with six packs, like ripped, people that are like jacked, eat healthy,
good
motivated,
looking.
Good looking. Like, that's what we need in this crew. And you know what? We took a vote. You know the results if you're watching.
And of course, my name is Tim. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone had a good long holiday weekend, good Memorial Day weekend, for whatever people do on that. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know what you think of the show. We would love to hear from you. And all that fun stuff. If you're listening on iTunes or any other outlet that lets you review the show, go ahead and do that when you find free time. We definitely appreciate it. And we do read them. So you can be honest there, and we definitely take the criticism. Shout out to Doug for letting us know our Twitter picture had a typo in it this entire time. I went ahead and I fixed it, so shout out, Doug. Thank you. And we also stream on Twitch. Border's in the chat. What up, Border? We're going to have a lot to discuss today. We have E-News to wrap up the show. Tons of stuff to get there. Nate Nanzer, Overwatch League Commissioner, or should I say former Overwatch League Commissioner, stepped down and moved over to Epic. We will talk about that. DreamHack Dallas is this weekend, so we will give our DreamHack Dallas survival guide. And to start the show, though, let's kind of pick up where we left off last week, Anuj, if you will, and break down a little bit more of this Tfue versus FaZe part two, if you will. Obviously, to catch people up, Tfue suing FaZe Clan, his organization, for basically wanting out of it. Last week we discussed it. It just kind of broke the first day. Well, now there's a lot more information, a lot more details. You had FaZe Banks talking about it. You had Tfue talking about it. So we want to play a little bit of audio. I don't know. How do you want to start, Anuj? Do you want to start with Banks? Because we can go in chronological order. That might make the most sense.
Yeah, go with Banks's, and then we'll go Tfue after that.
All right. So Banks, for those who don't know, did he start FaZe?
Yeah, he was one of the original creators of FaZe. So there's like a group of four of them, basically. I think Apex, him. Oh man, I don't even remember the other two, but I think there's like four of them, and Banks and Apex are like the main guys out there.
All right, and fair warning, I don't really understand the editing done in this video. It was really weird. A ton of editing, by the way. So if it sounds goofy, that's what it was. For whatever reason, like 80% of it had all the swear words edited out, but then like 20% was left in. I don't understand. Like,
they were trying to get that PG-13 rating.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, wait, does like YouTube have a quota for how many F-bombs you can drop and they'll pull it out? Like, I don't understand. So if you're listening in the car with children, tell them earmuffs, because there are swear words. So let's start with this. This was Banks right off the bat talking about the legal strategy behind Tfue suing the org.
This is legal strategy 101. You don't let people know the storm's coming. And I'm those people that he didn't let know it was coming. And you just fucking sucker punch him. You hit him from behind and you catch him off guard. Well, you caught me, dude. I'm completely off guard.
And this was mainly focusing around the fact that, he had no idea it was coming. The fact that Tfue's big argument originally, or part of it, was the fact that they made him do things and the fact that they made him drink underage. Well, even in Tfue's video came out and said, I told my guys to not include that, and it was still there. I am not suing them over that, which we said last week.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that he told them to take it out, like not have it in there prior to I think they wanted it to come out and then let him redact it because it had already been released.
Yeah.
In like public perception, right?
Yeah. No. I don't believe the lawyers went behind Tfue's back and said, nah, we're still going to put this out there. Like, that's not how 100%. That works. That's not how it works.
It was very, very calculated, including his response.
Yeah. Right. And so I don't believe that. But you know what? It was so ridiculous of a point last week because I even mentioned, like, dude, I don't know why Tfue was all of a sudden coming out trying to act like he was some choir boy. Like, you have videos out there, dude, of you partying, of you doing stupid stuff. Like,
he shot a dude in the cheek with a BB gun, like, through it. Like, the guy wanted him to shoot the BB gun through his cheek. And that was, like, one of the first things he did when he joined FaZe, you know? Like,
yeah.
Already kind of a skateboarder doing like, you know, trick videos. He has some already prior to this. Like, it's not like they threw him in a situation where like, hey, all this stuff you've never done, let's all do it for the first time right now.
Right. So that's completely now redacted from the case. And I will also mention this because I did bring it up last week. And I guess in retrospect, I kind of felt bad saying that FaZe is a shady organization. I am looking at this completely separate from their previous situation of being caught up in a gambling scandal. Because in my eyes, I was like, no, you know what? It's not surprising that FaZe is doing all this because they've already proven that they're willing to scam you and kids out of money. So, of course, they're going to scam their own guys out of money, which I still believe, but I'm not going to include that in my opinion of this. I'm being a good...
That was like the Tfue... freaking apology statement right there. You threw out all the hate and then brought it back around and be like, it's not part
bring
of it.
It back. You gotta not bring part it of the back discussion. Around, Nuge. That's how you play both sides. That's
good
like
Lord.
Both sides of it. I'm not gonna bring up the fact that FaZe is shady. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna say that Banks is the Jake Paul of esports. I'm not gonna let personal biases get involved here. So this is the next clip I have here. FaZe Banks was talking about credit throughout this whole thing of Tfue being with FaZe, which, by the way, for those who don't know, you would think this was like a lifelong friendship. Nah, this is like a year and a half that like Tfue has been a part of FaZe and probably only like 2, maybe 3 years where he's been friends with Banks. This was not like Banks was acting like it was like his brother who just betrayed him. We'll get all to it. I want to get through the audio, then we can kind of talk about it.
And I love him, I really do. But that's not what's at question. He gets all that credit. He has all that credit. He's been given all that credit. But you know who has gotten none of the credit? Zero. And who's never asked for any of the credit? Me.
Now that's a common theme throughout his entire. It's like 20 minutes or something. It's pretty long.
Yeah, it's a long one.
His video is pretty long. Is the credit. Right. I feel like he was definitely doing this to show people like, yo, I deserve most of the credit being involved. Like, did you get that vibe?
Like, he did state it several times. But I also think that was, again, intentional to let out because like it there was no credit, like in the sense like you didn't think of Banks when you thought of Tfue coming to FaZe. So I understand where he's coming from, you know, even if he knew him for a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, like picture being in that situation where you are an org and as big as FaZe was, Tfue still helped take him to another level. This guy really came from nowhere for the most part. Like, I mean, it's just fact. It's not like he was a big name household name prior to joining FaZe. So I do understand.
And there's numbers to prove that.
Yeah, like it's all there. Like it all backs what they're saying. The question comes into play is when we get into, you know, Tfue's side, is obviously the contractual issues were really the main, like the whole, it wasn't like the relationship fell apart, I guess is what I'm saying. This is really like a contract situation that is being taken to the next level because of the lawsuit.
Right. Again, common theme throughout all of Banks' speech was saying like, hey, I was there. I helped him out. And here's a little bit of that.
I feel horrible right now. And I don't feel horrible because of something I did. I feel horrible because I feel wronged. Honestly, I want you guys to feel me on this, like really feel me on this. Because
first off, I love that right there. I want to, if we were popular enough, I would make that a meme. I want you to really feel me. Like, just feel me on this, and dude, really feel like guys, I know I'm doing this to kind of speak my mind, but I want you to feel me on this moment here.
It's tough, man. Like, it's tough. I'm struggling with this right now. It's bothering me to my fucking core. To my fucking core. Man, everything, dude, everything. All the scandals you've been a part of with the getting banned on Twitter. I was there for all of it. I helped you figure all of it out by your side, homie. By your side. Everything down to your thumbnails and titles. There's a long, long, long list of a DM chat between me, his thumbnail guy, his editor, and Tfue. And in the early stages of Tfue, his thumbnails were trash. He didn't know how to title a YouTube video to save his fucking life. But I sat there every single day and helped him on every single one. Now he knows what he's doing, and that's great.
You know what? I'm going to save my thought until we get through all the audio. That way we can just have a conversation about it. Because yeah. I feel like in Banks' argument, to your point that you just mentioned on the last one, it's like, this is a contract dispute. Not who did what or who deserves credit, you know? And I feel like in Banks's video, he was trying to make that point. Like, look at all I did for Tfue. And Tfue's like, that's great, dude, but look at the contract. Right?
Yeah.
So I think they're arguing two different things, but we'll get through all the video here. This next clip here was Banks talking about money that he has made off of Tfue and FaZe. Tfue. It was going to happen eventually.
You want to know what I have gained from Tfue? Because this is another thing. I collect $0 from FaZe Clan. I collect no salary so that we can pay for these houses. That's a fun fact that none of you guys fucking know about. My company, FaZe, pays for both of our houses. I collect $0 because of it. And why? Because I love these houses. Because so many people's lives have changed. And that's what I love more than anything. I love to really take somebody, because I was a kid who played video games, who was lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And this logo, FaZe Clan, this shit saved my fucking life and changed my whole world. And I know what it meant to me. And I want to apply that to as many people as possible, people who deserve it.
You buy it?
Part of it. Like, I'm not as anti-FaZe as it seems like a lot of the community is right now. Like, I see a lot of FaZe hatred out there. And I do buy part of it. Like, I mean, I do feel like he is 100% dedicated to his organization. Like, FaZe is, like, you got to understand, like, FaZe is Banks' life. It's like what he does. It's not like part-time. You know, it's not like how we do TCR, right?
I would like to imagine if we were like 19, 20, and we had the resources that video game and Twitch and YouTube offers now. Because a little tip for the listener, Anuj and I are older, and Anuj is even older than me. Back when we were kids, it was not a... Bro, you look great, though.
25.
It wasn't like, yeah, you could do it, right? Because there are people our age who are wildly successful content creators, but like, that was never in like a train of thought when I was younger. Yeah, I played video games competitively, and, you know, dare I say, on a professional level, but even then, it was always, this was something I was going to do until I graduated college, right? Or even made it to like senior year of college, and then I have to focus on my adult normal life.
Bro, YouTube didn't come out until I was in college. Okay.
And you
think about that. Like, YouTube came out in 2005 and I was in college. My sophomore year of college was 05. So, content creation.
05 was your sophomore year of college?
Yeah, I graduated in 03.
All right. I won't let you know what my sophomore year of college was.
Like 2009.
You know, 05 was my sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, you're still old, dude. So I mean, content creation now, like, FaZe is a content creation group, right? Like, kind of like Optic is, almost to a certain extent. Like, they have one or two really good teams, obviously not counting now the Outlaws and all that, but it's just not the same today. Tfue, obviously being a part of FaZe, had a lot to gain. All he had was stuff to gain, right? There was no other way for him. So I do buy that Banks like invested heavily in him, but that was also Banks' job to do that, right? Like, you're not going to bring this guy on and be like sink or swim. You know, like if you're bringing somebody into an organization and you see them skyrocketing and it's building your brand, you're also like, the investment wasn't just for Tfue. From Banks' side, the motivation was this is for like for FaZe, right?
And I also think like Banks has this personality, and it's not a bad thing, but if he's bringing someone in, they're going to succeed. Like he doesn't know the meaning of you not succeeding under the FaZe brand. You know,
but there are a couple of FaZe streamers that are at like 100 to 200 viewers at the same time, right? So there are a couple of them out there because I saw this.
I think if he wants you to be in the spotlight, he knows how to market you. He knows how to make it to where, like, as he would say, look, homies, watch this guy.
Look, you know, it's going to be appealing to the FaZe audience, right? Like, you know, these guys were trick shotters when they first started off. So he knows how to appeal to the masses. Like, that's what they did when they started off. It didn't start off as like this cool COD team. Like, these guys were cool trick shotters and evolved into an esports org. So yeah, I mean, both you're spot on when you say they're both kind of arguing different things here. Banks is upset from a personal side and an investment that he put into Tfue and feels betrayed from a friendship, you know, standpoint, where Tfue is coming in like, bro, I get it. We were friends, whatever you want to say they are now. I doubt they are, but my contract is Jack, so I don't want to play under this brand and release me or release the contract type thing, you know?
Yeah, that's a perfect segue. So I have two more clips from Banks here. This one is talking about how Tfue will regret it.
I wonder if you really understand what you just did. And I know your team of lawyers and your dad and stuff, I know they convinced you this was a good idea, but I promise you it wasn't. Maybe it is. Maybe it is for your career or what you have in mind for a career. And if you destroy part of FaZe Clan in the process and you knock us down a couple pegs, if that's what your goal was, maybe you will succeed in that. Maybe you won't regret it from that standpoint, but as a human being, I think you will. Because I think you and I both know you've never met a person who went out of their way for you like I did. And this is before the money. This is before the fame. This is before the success. This is before your clout, your fucking bullshit clout, all this bullshit fucking internet. It's so disgusting, man. I reached out to you. I fucking extended my hand to you when you were a no one, when you were a nobody, and I believed in you and I put everything I had into you. And all I can say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this didn't work out.
This is where I think Banks, that's just so emotional. This is where I think Banks is screwing up, is that obviously for him it's emotional, right? Like, this to him is personal because he really did feel like, whether or not he's BSing, which I'm sure part of this is BSing, right? Like, Banks, as big of a doucher as he appears, the dude is really smart when it comes to brand, right? Like, branding himself and FaZe. The dude knows if he makes this personal, if it makes it look like he's the victim, then his followers and people who are getting in on this, if this is your first time hearing about this and you watch his video, you're going to think like, wow, Tfue's a jerk. Like, these guys did all this for you, never took a dime, and, you know, relatively speaking, never took a dime, and now you want out. Like, you're a big jerk. And I think that is 100% what Banks is doing. I think he is playing it up to try to make it seem like, you know, my best friend just stabbed me in the back.
Look, he's got to rally the team, right? Like, that's what he's doing also. Just like how Tfue, you know, did it the other way and came out with this lawsuit listing 100 things, and that was all negative perception towards FaZe. You know, Banks has to come out and approach this the same way. Like, I got to rally my troops type thing.
Of course.
Let people know the situation.
Because, for these guys, too, because, like Zen just said it in the chat, like, let's be real, Tfue is also a jerk. This is all very true. And everyone knows that. I mean, that's part of the appeal for some of these guys, right? It's like, this guy doesn't give an F, right? He's such a jerk or whatever. Both of these guys have to rally their troops, as you said, Anuj. Because after all this dust is settled, no matter which way it goes, right? Like, no matter who, if it ever gets to the courts, decides is right or wrong, Like, they are still going to have a community backing them to succeed no matter what.
Yeah.
And
both are going to be fine in that regard, honestly.
Yeah. Like, but you know, you get what I'm saying. Like, they still have to play that part of, you know, hey, guys, who has my back on this? Because I think for them, that's just as important as who wins the court battle is who's going to win the public perception battle.
And in my eyes, you know, it's kind of an interesting point. I think Tfue gets hurt from this a little bit more than FaZe does as a whole, because I think Tfue is still going to have a huge following. That's not going to change. It's going to stay massive. He's too good at what he does. But he did also create a situation to where he's alienated FaZe's fans. Like, the true diehard FaZe fans are not going to like this, right? Like, they're not going to like the way he approached this, the way he's trash-talking, you know, the organization that I mean, FaZe has diehard fans, dude. Like,
you see all these photos, right? They're like Envy.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, you get any good brand, right? Like, any good brand has a diehard fan base, like FaZe does.
TCR.
And of course, same thing, you know, almost the same scale. And so, yeah, I do think that this is going to hurt him a little bit more, because it will alienate him from some of the, you know, the FaZe team, like Showgirls and whatnot.
Yeah. And then I have one more clip of Banks. I think it's a shorter one, though. And this is basically him putting an end to their relationship. Because keep in mind, FaZe originally tweeted out saying that they're going to continue working with Tfue. And we were like, really?
Okay.
Yeah, you're really going to keep this one going?
FaZe Clan has changed so many people's lives, and you just spit on it and stomped on it. You took everything you could from it, you sucked it clean of everything you could get out of it, and then you fucking threw it in the trash. And how dare you? I'll never forgive you for this, homie.
Homie, never forgive you for it, homie. He says homie a lot, by the way. If I never have to hear FaZe up again, I'll be so happy.
I want to end the show the way he ends his thing. Like,
just
TCR.
Get a catchy slogan.
You know?
TCR. Fuck up, bro. Look, I think the issue is here. You know what?
Play the Tfue.
Let's
audio.
Listen to Tfue. And then, and then I want to say what I'm going to say. So this is Tfue's response. Was pretty much like a day after Banks' response. It's not nearly as long. It's like 12 minutes.
No, it's 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's even shorter. Beautiful.
We're
scenery,
giving you
though.
50 seconds of his 2 minute.
Yes. Beautiful scenery. And I will give Tfue props how he got his audio sounding so good while what appears to be on top of a mountain. Like
overlooking the FaZe house.
Is that what was in the background?
No.
That would have been so so funny if he just buys a house that's higher up the mountain.
Just one notch higher.
All right, let's listen to Tfue's response.
What I really want to talk about is the main point. I never wanted to upset anybody. I never wanted to bring that stuff in. I never wanted to get anybody to get emotional, because this isn't about that. This is about me and this contract. This contract that I signed when I didn't know any better. I'm an idiot. I should have never signed it in the first place. This 3-year contract. What is in this contract is so bizarre. It's so fucked. I wish you guys could see this thing, because I can't even fathom it. This contract basically allows FaZe at any point in 3 years to just fucking take all my hard earnings and all my hard work and just strip it. Over 49%, over 79%. What is in this contract is insane.
So I see Twitch chat saying that he signed it, so, you know, it's his bad.
It is, though. He signed a 3-year agreement when he wasn't doing anything, like in the sense he was pulling in 100 to 200 viewers, maybe starting to spike a little bit, but at that point, FaZe rumors were already out there, so that's also a cause for some of the spike that you saw into his numbers prior to him signing. But yeah, now granted, is it a good contract? No, it's not one of the better contracts. Like, it's not in the player's favor, but as we've seen from people like Bryce Blum, esports video game attorney guy on Twitter, like there's a couple of them that I'll kind of follow and they chime in on this stuff. Like, look, it's not also that uncommon for somebody who's not big to have these kinds of terms. You've seen Summit and people like Ninja come out and comment on this stuff. Like, it's not egregious, like, you know, what they were doing here, but obviously it's in the organization's favor. A lot of it comes down to the fact that they have the FaZe, as in they, FaZe has the ability to take a large portion of Tfue's earnings really at any point during this contract, in the sense that that's the numbers that they agreed upon. I don't know what the exact percentage is, you know, it's like it's but they have an ability to take a lot from him. What they have done, however, is they've taken really nothing. The only thing that they've taken is $60,000 on two particular deals that they brought in, and that was 20% of the value, or I'm sorry, 80% of the value in those two deals. The player got 20%. So that's where like the 80-20 is in. I don't think that's the raw numbers for every other aspect of the contract, but they haven't taken anything. He's just worried that, bro, in 3 years, like, think about how much money I will have made. And if you can come in and just scoop a huge portion of it, like, that's the issue.
And that's, and see, and that's my issue. I don't think either one is innocent. Like, I don't think FaZe is innocent. I don't think Tfue's innocent in all this, but I don't think either one is also guilty, right? Like, I could totally see why Tfue wants out, and for FaZe to keep saying, because that's the funny thing, right, is throughout all the phases, because after Tfue, FaZe, the organization came out and made a statement, and it was pretty generic. It wasn't even worth pulling audio from. It's exactly what you would think a team would say, including FaZe the F up at the end. I mean, come on, of course. They've always said, look, we haven't taken a dime from Tfue, but they always also fail to mention is that, but we could. Right. And but, like, to me, you don't really deserve a pat on the back to be like, what a great guy. Like, you look, man, I have a gun in my hand and I could shoot you, but I haven't. So why don't you appreciate me? OK, like, it's that's the part that bothers me about it, is like, I don't know.
Does it bother you that they've made different iterations that they've sent to him of this contract to fix these issues that he's addressing? So, yes. Like, they've sent him numerous contracts, and they blacked out a lot of these emails and stuff that they've sent, but they've put it out there that they've offered him contracts that pay him seven figures, that take zero money from them. All they want him for is branding purposes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, hey, if we have deals for you now, the conflicts there could come in, like, if Tfue wants to sign with Monster, but FaZe is signed with Red Bull. Obviously, you know, you can't do things like that.
And that's just part of it, dude.
But that's normal. That's part of it. That's like very common sense, right? But they've offered him revisions of his contract that say, hey, we're not going to take a dime from you. In fact, we're going to give you $1 million a year. Stay on the FaZe branding. And so what that tells me is Tfue has no intention of trying to renegotiate this bad contract that he signed, right? He just wants out. That's the
only answer he wants. And that's my problem with Tfue's response is he only brings up the fact, release the contract, release the contract. It's unbelievable how bad this contract is. And then also fails to mention, but don't release the other two or three revisioned ones that say I get all my money. Don't release those, though, because then people are going to realize, like, I just want out. Like, dude, just come out and say it. Like, you want out. And that's also part of the lawsuit, I guess, in California. I'm going to butcher this, but there's, like, a law that you can't prevent contract work from working with others or something of another. You get what I'm saying? Like, that... Look it up. It's part of the original dispute that he was saying. Right to work law. Thank you, Zen and chat. It's basically saying, like, your employer or whoever you signed contracts with can't block you off from taking other work.
Okay, right? So it's like Texas. Texas has a right to work state. So even though, like, I'm in the consulting business, right? So with the right to work state, the employer or the employee can quit or leave at any point, really, without having to bind to some of the contracts, but that's also not 100% right either. Like, if there was money, exchange of money involved, like, you know, you could have to pay some back and so forth. So there are other things to that. It's not just as simple as it's being a right to work state there.
Well, and then also too, you're like, okay, well, you know, that's very loose because, like, what are they preventing Tfue to do and everything? And then it comes out that Tfue's brother messaged and released it saying that, well, Tifu wants to start his own org. Hold up.
Messed up that whole little thing they had going there.
First off, if I was Tifu, I'd be like, dude, really? Like, did you really just message someone this? But second off,
Banks. In what? Banks, didn't he?
In what? Was it Banks or Keemstar or somebody?
Somebody that if you're going to release it to, it's coming out. Yeah.
My point here, though, is like, in what crazy delusional world do they live in where they think putting that out there will help Tifu's case? Like, oh, what a bunch of jerks FaZe are that they don't want their number one guy leaving to make another competing org against them. What a bunch of jerks. Just let him do it. He's earned it. Like, dude, are you joking? Like, just wait out your 3-year contract then. Rewrite the contract to where you can protect your money, which, hey, I'm 100% okay with. You know, get your bread. And then peace out after 3 years like everybody else does, right? Like, look at Shroud and Cloud9. I brought that up last week. The dude retired, was still on the Cloud9 brand, let the contract lapse and didn't re-sign with them, and immediately put out all of his Shroud branding. And then, boom, the dude's
Ninja did the same thing. Ninja blew up as under the Luminosity banner. Like, when the whole Fortnite, you know, everything skyrocketed for that game, he was still under Luminosity's banner at that point. Yeah. Contract ran out, didn't re-sign, did what he wanted to do. Again, I'm not saying that Tifu doesn't have the right to go do what he wants to do, right? Like, he does. Now, what he should have done, in my opinion, is renegotiated the contract not only with the way he wanted it financially, but then also ask for a change in the duration of the contract. Like, hey, guys, 3 years, that's a long time. Like, you know, I'll give you another 6 months to a year type thing. Like,
yeah, get your work in order, but I just want to let you know, I love you, but I've outgrown this. Like, I want to spread my wings now. I don't want to live, because that's the other thing, is Banks was like, man, I knew it changed when you left the house. Look, dude, if I was making millions of dollars, I wouldn't want to live with a bunch of people either. Like, the dude wants to get his own, you know, freak on his own house.
Tifu's side, to me, seems super unprofessional. The way that his company or brand is being run by his dad being his manager, that usually does not work for most. I mean, not saying it doesn't work for everyone, but... You know, unless
look
your dad
at Hollywood kid stars, right? Ask him how that's worked out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Macaulay Culkin is doing great. Like, guy looks like he's still on crack, you know? And, like, I mean, there's just so many examples where that usually doesn't work out. Then his brother is also, like, his voice right now for him. And his brother is out there as well. So I think this is, like, to me, I'm on Team FaZe. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there before we wrap this segment up. Like, I am... on Team FaZe in this situation. I don't say that often. I'm not like a huge FaZe fan. I'm, you know, just from an esports side, right? I don't have anything personal against these guys. Never done anything to slight me, but like the teams I root for, usually not them. And so in this situation though, I do believe this is a Tifu issue. I believe he is being incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for here? I just think he's being incredibly greedy in this situation. And he doesn't understand the business side of what he's asking to be done here. It looks like, in my mind, FaZe has offered, you know, the right terms of like of terms and conditions for him. I don't know about duration. I understand that still being a big issue. 3 years is, again, really long, but he signed it. But again, I think, to me, FaZe is going to look like the good guys here at the end of the day. Like, I really, truly believe that.
Because of the revisions. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Because
that's a big part of it. Yeah.
You know, yeah, the original contract sucked and it was super greedy on the org's part and kind of shady that you could just take their money. But
they haven't. They haven't taken a dime from him either.
Exactly.
That's the crazy part, right? So not only the revisions, but they haven't held any of the clauses in the contract to be true. And they're willing to renegotiate the contract with you, which means all the money they haven't taken, they won't be taking from you. So, again, to me, this is like a bad look for Tifu. I get it. He wants to go out, you know, starting your own org. Great. Let's see how that works out anyway. It's not as easy as, I mean, maybe they're making it seem to be. But, yeah, I'm gonna have to side with Banks, and I get where the emotion is coming from on his end. Like I do. So,
and I'll say my piece too, because this is probably the last time we'll bring it up on the show. Is I'm leaning towards FaZe as well, mainly just because as an adult,
wait,
I kind of get
you say
the...
it cut out. You're what?
I said I am. Teaming with FaZe on this one.
Oh, nice.
Unless Tfue's listening, then bro, 100% on your side, man.
Yeah, if either side's listening, we're on your side.
Right. Whichever side wants to contact us first, and I won't even read a contract. So you send that my way, I'm signing that.
95.5? Sure, let's do it.
Right, yeah. You want 95% of profit? Go for it, man. I don't watch Tfue, right? I don't really care for him at all in the sense of I have no dogs in the hunt. But just as an adult, I kind of understand how business and contracts work. And sometimes you just got to grin and bear it. If you made a mistake, you made a mistake. I do think that Banks and FaZe kind of thought this was like a Fast and the Furious situation where, you know, family is forever. And, you know, once you're in, you're in. I do think hopefully they learn from this as well that, oh, maybe we are running a business, you know, like. Look, dude, like this isn't just friends chilling in a house. Like for some of these guys, it's business. And for Tfue, you know, maybe his dad talked to him and said, like, look, son, you got to watch, like, look out for number one. And number one is you. So find a way to get out of this. Now,
and just sue your company.
Sue your company.
Sue your employer. That's
so the
I
would love
out.
To be a fly on the wall for both sides' attorneys because I bet you all of them are just like, shut up. Like, stop posting videos.
FaZe's response, a proper response. So take out Banks's response, right? That's a Banks response, not a FaZe response. FaZe's response was actually, you know, was pretty good. Like, it was pretty to the point.
You could tell they read
it. And the ending was the only, like, FaZe, that was the only part that was, like, a little off color, I thought. Like, I didn't think it was necessary.
You couldn't imagine a Mike Raphael, owner of Envy, doing something like
imagine?
That?
Can you imagine? Dude,
I guess, I mean, you know, we've talked to team owners and everything, and it's just like you could clearly see how some of them conduct themselves on the business side and some don't. And, you know, I'll say it again, like FaZe is the party boy of esports. They definitely are Jake Paul, you know, of esports. So
most of the owners we've met, though, are also like very heavily invested in the business side.
Yeah.
Where that's not really the case with FaZe. Like a lot of the owners are the clout guys, right? Like they're the ones that are in the public eye and stay with the drama and do all that. So
I don't know. Craziest thing out of all this is that Le'Veon Bell tweeted a Tfue with support. So that honestly blew my mind.
He uses hashtag in everything. And you know what, Tfue, if you're listening, it didn't work out for Le'Veon. So don't take his advice.
that was
lost
my favorite
part. $20 million. And he's on the Jets now.
That was
your organization could be
it's
the
like,
Jets.
She's like, dude, hold out for you, man. We'll look out for you. And then all the comments were like, Mr. Bell, you lost like $18 million.
Yeah, $18 million guaranteed. And took
and
less
you,
money.
And are no longer Jets. On a Super Bowl contender and now playing for the Jets.
Oh, Lord.
So, what's up?
But hey, still cool. So, you know, he tweeted
guys,
him out.
Shout out
that's awesome.
Le'Veon Bell, man. I'll take it. I will
that's
take it.
That's too easy, though. Yeah.
Either way, it will be interesting to see because I think, again, I don't think between FaZe and Tfue in the long run, I don't think it's going to really affect any of them other than Tfue no longer being with FaZe and Tfue might create his own content creating org. Other than that, or brand, we'll say. But other than that, this might just shed a light for future players signing contracts. But probably not because, you know, when you're 18 signing contracts and someone's saying, dude, be a professional gamer, I'm signing it. I'm not reading anything. So that's probably the problem. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there, though. But let's move on because this weekend we have DreamHack Dallas here in our hometown. We do live in DFW, for those who don't know. So Brett, formerly of TCR, and myself will be there every time, every year. We go to DreamHack Austin since the first year they moved it here. DreamHack Austin was the first DreamHack event in North America. we made a point to go there. It was kind of my pseudo bachelor party, if you will. And then we were like, dude, let's come back. Let's do BYOC every year. And we were. So we always do like a kind of a survival guide for those who might be going. So I'm going. Brett will be there. Anuj will not. He has to fly out to a family wedding. But that's not all bad, though, because if it's like a destination wedding, you got to be going to like what? Cabo, Hawaii?
It's actually really, I said close to Hawaii. Little east, but it's going to be in Indianapolis. So.
What island is that on? Is that?
Can I tell you a quick story?
So sure.
I got to do this right now. So my first time in Indianapolis was, 25. No, I was 4 years old. Okay. So I was four and I'm what? 23 now. So do the math. And so anyways, I was 4 years old. My mom was pregnant with my sister at the time. We're traveling out to go see these same cousins who are getting married. Not to each other, same cousin who is getting married.
That was a weird segue. Clarify.
Yeah. So we go out there. We just flew in. It's a little late at night. We needed some food on our way home. Well, back in the day, Pizza Hut used to have dine-ins. You know, you could like go dine-in at a Pizza Hut. It wasn't just like delivery.
They're still around.
Are they still around? Like the buffets and all that? Mm-hmm. You can go sit at the buffet. Okay, so anyways, it was one of those. We go in there probably 10 o'clock, right before they're closing. It's pretty late. We sit down. Within 15 minutes of being there, four dudes come running in, shotguns, fully loaded, ski mask on, come running into this place, hold everybody up. They ask everyone to get under the table. So my dad and my mom are like holding me under the table. They start taking off their jewelry and putting this in their pockets and everything like that. They mace all the people at the front counter. My mom is, you know, vividly remembers this, obviously. I don't remember it that. I remember it, but not like that vivid. My mom said the guy was standing over us. There's only three couples in there at that time. Dude is standing over us, holding a shotgun at us, saying, give me all your money and your jewelry. So my dad's like taking his wallet out and his watch off and all that. They mace everyone at the front counter, take the $50 or whatever the hell would be in a Pizza Hut cashier machine at that point. Like how much was in there at that time? And left. And that was it. That was my first experience in Indianapolis. This will be number two. There will be no stops on the way to this wedding. We will go straight there from the airport and hopefully back here next week for a show.
And now your second visit is forcing you to miss DreamHack. So what you're saying is, would you rather take a gun to the head or miss DreamHack? Like,
it feels like the same right now, Tim. I can't tell the difference at the moment. I do have a gun
in
my
head.
It's
really the same story. Yeah.
I am sad to be missing out, though, in all honesty. Super sad to be missing out on DreamHack. It's been 3 years in a row that we've gone. Absolutely loved it. I hope you guys have an amazing time. And I'm still excited to talk about it, man. Like, I'm still excited as if I were
always
going.
Good stories.
I wish I was.
Yeah, always good stories that come out of it. And you'll be back next year.
Yeah, for sure.
So this weekend, DreamHack Dallas, it's at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Center, which is just the Dallas Convention Center. I know some people might be wondering, why is it in Dallas and not Austin this year? We actually talked to a few people from DreamHack. Simply, they just needed a bigger venue. The K. Bailey Center, Hutchinson Center, is enormous. It is huge.
You can't even picture how big this place is. We can't even tell you. It's it covers almost three city blocks, it feels like, in terms of how long this damn thing is.
It's big.
They're not using the whole event center, obviously, for this, but what we're saying is it gives them a lot more space, a lot more room.
Right. Well, it's also this year you're having a CSGO Master event. So that is like a premier event, like means something. I don't know how you want to start. Do you want to start with the esports side of it, and then we can go more towards the survival guide aspect?
I want to flip it on us. Let's go survival guide, and then we can just kind of wrap it up with that part with the events to kind of keep an eye on.
Easy enough. Real quick tip here, what I would always suggest to people, and they just started doing this last year, download the DreamHack app on your phone. Because when you get to DreamHack, you will realize there are a lot of things to do and a lot of things you want to do and don't want to miss. DreamHack is amazing. One thing, though, that they have not discovered is a schedule posted anywhere in the venue.
No, there's none of that. You are figuring everything out on your own. Our first couple of years, it was like, wait, when are the games starting?
Because they didn't have an app next? At then.
I was literally going to like HLTV to look at what Counter-Strike matches were coming up. Like that's how I was doing it. So yeah, 100%. Just for that, it also shows you like the vendors, and there's more in that app than obviously just the game schedule.
Right.
But that app will be a lifeline for you at these types of events.
And to Anuja's point, like it's not just games at these things. And that's one important thing. Like, yeah, for sure. Go check out the esports. You know, if you have tickets to the Expo and DreamHack Masters for the CSGO side of it, for sure, go check out the esports, right? Fighting games will have a big presence there, as they always do. Go check it out. It's really fun. But there's a lot more to do than just that. You have artists, local artists in the area. They will bring their art to buy. You can normally find some pretty cool stuff. They have a speedrunners area where some popular speedrunners will speedrun their best games. Tabletop vendor, area. Like
big vendors out there as well, right?
You have HyperX will be out there. Dallas Fuel and Envy will be out there. Looking at the expo map, in the top left corner, a very big square for Microsoft. And you might be thinking, what does Microsoft have?
And I'm thinking, seen them in 3 years at DreamHack.
No,
in
all three years, we've never seen Microsoft at DreamHack. This is not a normal thing. Maybe Halo PC? Maybe? I know Halo 3 will be at... They're doing Halo 3 tournaments and event competition there. So maybe they're going to be having a little bit more for Halo PC. I don't know.
Even if it's just showing it off or just showing things about it, that would be really cool. I don't think this is going to be like a play test area or anything like that, you know?
But just acknowledge that it still exists.
Dude, Halo is so recognizable. They could really make that area pretty cool, have a lot to show off. People will naturally just walk by. They'll obviously have their consoles and things like that, you know, to show off as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that would be super exciting for you guys if they did anything Halo related. But that's the assumption. I think that's probably spot on. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's going to be pretty truly dedicated to some sort of Halo setup.
If you're doing BYOC, I will say this too, or even if you're not, right? Hold off on buying things. If you're like, man, I want to get a new headset before the event, hold off. Because normally at these booths, like the HyperX, normally have cheaper pricing than like their normal stuff. So that's one tip there.
Not paying for shipping either, and they'll do like 10 to 20% off at these events. Plus, they always have something that's a little unique that you maybe don't see, or that's like customized, you know, for these types of events, which is pretty cool.
The indie area will typically get free stuff. I mean, that's how I got into the Splitgate Alpha a year back. Was Splitgate was at Austin, met the devs, talked to them, got into the alpha. So you
mentioned
that's
kind of cool. So they have the indie gaming area as well at these events, where you can see student developers as well as like true indie game developers out there. Mm-hmm. And those, a lot of times you do get a test or play, like, you know, and interact with some of the dev members that are there. So if you enjoy that scene, really is a lot of fun. Like it's much more than just an esports event. That's generally how we talk about things, but this is like truly a gaming experience.
And, you know, take your time to sit down and play some of these games. Like seriously, because if all you're doing, because there's really two sides to it, is BYOC, bring your own computer, and then obviously you're gaming, right? But if you're just attending the expo, if you're just saying I want to check it out, and you're not doing BYOC, which is what we did the first year we went to DreamHack Austin, and I'm glad we did. I know we talked about doing BYOC, but we were like, dude, we've never been to a DreamHack before, so I didn't want to, you know, take on that BYOC first time experience and never being to DreamHack, you know. And plus, it was our bachelor party, so the boys had to hit the street. You know what I'm saying? I would seriously, because the esports can kind of get lame, especially like early on, like on a Friday when it's just like group stages and stuff. Drama's not really high. That's when you want to go check out all the little vendors here and there, pick up the swag, get the free stuff. That's when you really want to do it. As far as BYOC, if you are doing BYOC, some tips. Security. DreamHack will tell you it's going to be the best security they ever have. It's a lie. Stuff will get stolen. Your stuff might get stolen. Don't believe them. Buy a, what's it called? A K-lock?
Monitor lock.
Loop that stuff through anything you can loop it through so they don't steal it, right? Like I have a mouse bungee that has like a hole through it. Loop it through the mouse bungee so that's not going anywhere. I would take your
I take all my peripherals home every night. Yep. I took it with me wherever I was going. I never left my keyboard, mouse pad, like things that were easy to pick up. They're probably not going to walk out with like a tower, but we did see a laptop get stolen last year. So, you know, you want to talk about, I mean, that's losing everything for that person, right?
Like, and it was a dude we played earlier in the Counter-Strike tournament and he was that sucks.
So, I mean, again, they said security will be better. Be smart, you know, protect your own stuff, take your stuff with you.
At the end of the day, the people watching the BYOC area and most of the people working here are volunteers.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, you're not having like FBI level CIA agents protecting your stuff. It's just volunteers. They don't know if the guy walking out with a backpack, it's his backpack or not. You know, it's just like Anuj said, just be smart about it. This year, they said they're doing wristbands instead of like this typical lanyard, and the wristband is going to be able to beep in and out. So like they will check it in and out and of everything there. But you know, you don't know the guy next to you. So you know, you could be like, hey, we're all here chilling, playing games, but he could also be a sleazebag and steal your stuff. So
don't bring an ultra wide. Don't be that guy. Also,
you
don't
have 36 inches this year. They did send out the email. We got six more inches.
Still, there's like limited space. Okay, we've seen people bring 32 inch TVs. Remember that dude? Like, got the massive
respect
TV out
the space
there.
Because
the
tables, you're elbow to elbow sometimes with people, and it's like last year we get there, and first off, my tip is be chill, take deep breaths, because if not, then you'll end up like me and almost get in a fight with two people before you even set your PC up. But last year we got in there and it was like this dude was setting up where we were supposed to set up. And my PC was originally there. I walked away to check with something. I think it was to let you guys in because I had your passes. And I get back and this dude moved my PC. That's also a no-no. Don't touch other people's stuff. Like that's how you get... That's how punches start to get thrown.
Hey,
like
BYOC, that's a call for murder right there.
Yeah, like do not touch my stuff. And I almost murdered the guy. Almost murdered him.
Instead, Tim pushed his computer over and walked away.
Just smashed it. No. Cooler heads prevailed, and he said, "Oh, my bad. Wrong spot." I'm like, "Yeah, dude. Like, why do you think my stuff was here to begin with? Why'd you move my stuff? Just assuming I was wrong." BYOC has a lot of tournaments within it. If it's your thing, they're fun.
They don't know how to run a tournament properly. No, so we'll let that be said. We've done it 3 years. We're done with that. Like, even if I was going this year, there would be zero interest in joining any of the tournaments. They don't know how to run them. They're never on time. There's always a delay or a complaint or some sort of issue or tech issues. It's been something every single year, and it's never been a fun or pleasurable experience. It's always been like regret by the end of that day of, why do we just do this?
We just
again?
Wasted very high quality gaming time to wait in servers until the other team arrived. Or last year, the venue had an issue with internet problems and power outages. And we were in the Counter-Strike tournament. We've told the story before, but for those who don't know, on Friday, we made it to the final four of this tournament. Only then to be having a DreamHack guy sprint over to us because we had our TCR banner, so he knew where we were sitting, saying, "Are you guys TCR?" And we were like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Okay, did you guys know the tournament you're playing in isn't real?" And we were like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, they're restarting the tournament because the power outages screwed everything up." And he's like, "You guys got to keep an eye on Discord." We're like, "Dude, this has been like 6 hours. Like, it is
so
like
long.
12:30 in the morning. What is going on?" He's like, "Yeah, we're going to keep doing it tomorrow, though. We're going to restart tomorrow."
And when they said it wasn't real, it was the DreamHack official servers.
Yeah.
It's just they had canceled it when some of the power went out in different areas and didn't count any of the games.
We made it.
So.
We were smoking kids, too. We made it to the final four. Just everyone
for
was
me that
it.
Was the tournament though. Okay, oh. So the tournament for me was that moment. Not
we were feeling it
the next day when we got eliminated, unfortunately. So
yeah, the next game, the next day we played two matches, and it took us 14 hours to do it because they were like, "Oh yeah, be here by like 9 o'clock." So we woke up
after being up all night,
for a 9 o'clock match that was delayed to like 1, which was again delayed. Long story short, this is the first year in Dallas, so you don't know what to expect, right? They spent 3 years in Austin and still had power issues. Later found out maybe a bit of DreamHack's fault as well. So even when they are familiar with a venue, things can happen. Power outages will happen. Internet outages will happen. You got to be patient, right? Some things are out of their control. You just got to roll with it. Roll with the punches. Again, if tournaments are your thing, do it, but do it at your own risk and realize that, hey, what are the odds that we're going to win this? If you don't really think you're going to win it, bail out. That was our problem. We should have bailed. But we were, again, we made it to the top four the
night before. Focus your weekend around the tournament. Like, let that just be part of it. But don't make that like the focus for it. Like, just really enjoy your experience there. And if something goes wrong, you got plenty of other things to do. So,
yeah,
really, you know, I think everyone's going to have an amazing time, not only at the event. I think Dallas itself is a great town for it. I know it's not Austin in the sense you don't have Sixth Street, you know, the iconic Sixth Street right next door. But you'll have hundreds of restaurants at your disposal. You'll have a ton of nightlife within a 3 to 5 minute Uber drive away. Kay Bailey is kind of off. Yeah, Uber.
A little bit more difficult to walk back to the hotel drunk on this one.
Yeah, you're not walking back and forth, and there's not
going to have to be a little bit more responsible.
Kay Bailey's kind of in the corner of downtown because it is so big. So, you know, for those of you that are not from the area that are going, make sure to kind of Google areas like Deep Ellum or Uptown. A lot of nightlife and food and restaurants in those areas. So Dallas is a great city for it. It's going to be more open feel. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think they have an opportunity to really do this right and make it even bigger here at Dallas.
Mm-hmm. If we do have any listeners headed out, let us know at the Center Ring on Twitter. Again, I'll be there. So at Pirate Mushroom, if you want to message me directly, we could definitely meet up. Zen, I would love you for you to show up. That would be great. Maybe next year. If it's, I think it will be Dallas again. So every year they do music. They have some music act. Last year wasn't bad. It was Cruella, and it was off to the corner away from BYOC. The year before that was the most horrendous setup for music I've ever seen. This year, I have to assume it's going to be very far away from BYOC. Again, given how big this convention center is, there's no excuse that BYOC should even hear the music.
Can you imagine if it's right on top of y'all in the Kay Bailey Hitchin Center?
So there's two nights, though. So one night, I don't know which one's which, but one night, I think it's Saturday, is Metal Night, and Trivium will be there. So me, I like Trivium. I love them. I'm a big metal guy. So that's going to be awesome. And the night before is like EDM night, so you'll have Seven Lions there, which, okay, you know, they're not bad. He's not bad. Is it one dude? I don't even know. Not bad still. And they're lions too. Go figure. Again, like the tournaments though, you're there to game. You know, I'm a big Trivium guy. I've seen him in concert before, so maybe this sways my decision. I'll probably go for a couple songs and then I'll roll back to my PC to game. I don't want to go to a concert and wear myself out and then be like, whew, it's 11:30, boys. We just rocked out in the pit. I got to go to bed, right? Like, no, dude, I want to go game. I want to be up till 3 or 4 gaming. So, you know, if it's your thing, if that's your thing, if you want to go to the show, go. For me personally, it's never been I've never gone to DreamHack for the music. I've gone to game. So
can people from the outside come into these concert events for this?
I don't know. I know because we have BYOC, so we instantly have
clout.
Yeah. So we have.
What was I using that word for us, by the way?
We got the clout house. We
got like internet clout.
We got clout. So, you know, music, take it or leave it. If that's your thing, go for it. But again, me personally, I would not let it take up your whole night because, again, then you're going to leave the weekend thinking, well, I just went to a 2-night concert series and gamed in between. Like, nah, dude. Let the gaming be your focus. As far as esports go, though, they do have a pretty sweet lineup this year. Not as much, though, as before. You have the fighting game community. You'll have both Smashes there, MK11, Tekken 7, Street Fighter 5, Soul Calibur, some big ones there. Rocket League, the Pro Circuit will be there. So you're going to have big teams, G2, C9, NRG, PSG Esports. You're going to have big teams there. And Halo will be there. Madden will be there. Again, all this is, if you're into it, go check it out. We've mentioned CSGO. The Masters will be there. That's a big tournament. Astralis won't be there. This is one of the ones that they said, no, thank you. But that's going to be a big one. I think you actually had to buy separate tickets. If you have BYOC, you can make it. You can go watch Counter-Strike. But I think after that, you have to...
That'll be packed. That'll be. That was a good idea for them to sell that separately, because that really will be... there's just so many big-name teams coming to this event with huge following. So the DreamHack Masters should be fun with or without Astralis.
Yeah. Yeah, so that will be a good one there. A notable absence from all this is Blizzard. Every year it seemed like it was part of the main stop for the StarCraft circuit and the main stop for Hearthstone. Heroes of the Storm was always there, I think, maybe at least for the first 2 years.
It was. It was at least 2 years. At least two out of the three.
And nothing.
There.
Last year you had Rainbow Six. They're not back. I'm sure that's a big effort because of CSGO, right? It's a Masters. They don't want to pull people away. The fighting game community is way different, and Rocket League is way different. They probably aren't threatened that they're going to pull people away from Counter-Strike, but they probably really wanted to minimize the other games. But for no Blizzard is kind of weird to me.
Honestly, outside of Overwatch League, Blizzard really doesn't have a ton in esports right now. I know StarCraft is a thing, but like it's dated in the sense of what it brings to esports. I know they've had StarCraft there the past 2 years at least.
Right.
And it never seemed to really...
The finals always had a crowd, but the whole other weekend, man.
You didn't even know it was happening. I sat next to one of the players in the events and had no idea the whole time. And so, I mean, it's a notable absence for them, but all they want to promote is Overwatch League, and they have other avenues of doing that. So
they haven't really been... They haven't really been playing nice with others as of late. And yeah, they did kill off Heroes, but still, Heroes still has a scene. It's just not officially Blizzard sanctioned. But nonetheless, it's still going to be an amazing event. And again, if you're going, hit us up at the Center Ring. We will be there, or at least Brett and I. Brett, you guys remember him. He was the dad of the group. But let's get
into
our...
Any other notable absences for Blizzard recently? Any other...
I do think something with Blizzard and the Overwatch League, you know, I was really worried because it's like 2 month break with Overwatch. I was like, dang, there's not gonna be anything to talk about. And then Nate Nanzer was like, hold my beer. So if you haven't heard, Nate Nanzer was the commissioner for the Overwatch League. That is no longer the case, as he decides to step down as commish and move over to Epic. To work with them on their esports side, helping out what I can only assume will be Fortnite and Rocket League. I mean, that's the only thing they got. Maybe they bring back Unreal Tournament. Oh, please do. But that's not the case, considering Fortnite kind of killed that off. So he recently tweeted out, it's been rumored, but it was made official over the weekend, that Nate Nanzer is stepping down as commissioner for Overwatch League. Now, this has gone a lot of different directions as far as the community is concerned. To my surprise, I'll kind of make it quick because I know we're already running long on time, but it seems to be divided up. Now, the players and coaches and orgs involved with, like, people directly involved with Overwatch League are very, hey, man, good luck, wish you luck, thanks for everything, you're the best, you know, we'll see you around. That's partly expected. Like, I don't think an org is going to be like, F you, bro. Like, I hope you fail. Clearly, they have to save face.
It's a bigger deal than what everyone's making it out to be, though.
At the end of the day,
like, this is a Roger Goodell stepping down and Adam Silver stepping down. Like, we talked about this off air, and you made a really good point. Like, commissioners of pro leagues don't really leave.
They retire. Like, unless they're
retired or they're forced out, right? Like they're the ones pushed out of the way. It's never like on their own decision. And so for this to be happening, I know we're like, oh, well, it's esports. It's different. Well, hey, like they were trying to make it like traditional sports by the franchising mm-hmm. model, by the way they were running it, by the rules that are set in place and the way contracts are done. Like there was a lot about this that's supposed to be traditional sports written all over it. So for him to be stepping down mid-season, okay, mid-stage, like, I mean, we're not even like really halfway through. I mean, I guess we're at the halfway mark, but you know, like it's such an odd time. Like it's just such odd timing to be walking away.
And like to tweet it all out at like Friday at like 8:30 at night too. It's like you borderline Baltimore Colt them.
Pretty much, right?
Almost, I mean, moved out in the middle of the night.
It's late enough in the day to where it doesn't drive Friday news traffic. And
Friday on a 3-day weekend. No one's thinking about esports on Memorial Day weekend. I'm out, guys.
TCR is here to deliver.
TCR.
Seriously, though, I'm surprised. Like, I just don't think it's a good look at all. I think there's more to it.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I'm with you. And you know, I mean, people know me, man. I love Overwatch. I love the Overwatch League. I'm a believer in it. I still think it will be a success. And I argue points back and forth where people are like, well, the owners still haven't seen their money. Well, I don't think they were expecting to get their money back within a year and a half of it. It's a season and a half. But that being said, your commissioner, the face of your league, pieces out midway through his second season because he got money whipped by Epic. Now, I don't blame him, right? Like, you got Epic money? Take that. Take that and run, because you're not going to get that offer probably ever again in your life. Like, who knows what he was offered by Epic, because they got Fortnite money. But for like to me, I think this is where it's a concerning factor. And I understand. I've read articles and I've heard people say and tell me to confirm it that Nate Nanzer was never really the day-by-day business guy for the Overwatch League. Like, other people handled that mess. Nate Nanzer was supposed to be the public face. He was the guy who would sell sponsorships, and because that's what he does, right? He's a demographic kind of guy. He's the one who sells you on the league, right? He's a big pitch guy. Well, I don't see how that changes the fact of his importance of leaving. You know, like, so, okay, he is your pitch guy. He was the guy telling me, dude, let's ride this ship, believe in it, come with me. And now he's peacing out. He abandoned ship. Like, that's terrible for the Overwatch League. It's an awful look.
It's the two sides, like you said, are just, it's just so funny on how they differ, right? Like you mentioned, the fans, the big fans and supporters of Overwatch League are like, no big deal. Like, we'll be able to move on. It's not going to affect the business operations. And I believe that. I don't think it will. I think they'll be able to have somebody come in there and probably do just as good of a job. I don't doubt them on that. What this does is feed the skeptics, though, right?
Oh,
if
of course.
The skeptics are going to sit there and be like, well, man, if this is going so great and everything is so dandy and so perfect and working and, you know, moving like a well-oiled machine, why would he leave? Why didn't he see the opportunity in the bigger picture where maybe he would make the money up on the back end if Overwatch League is a 10-year project that's mm-hmm. going to change the way esports is done?
Or even from the emotional standpoint, way,
it's like
right?
revolutionizing the game or the industry. And then he like deuces out on that a year and a half in. Mm-hmm. So it's just really going to feed the skeptics more so than, you know, help the supporters, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because even from like an emotional standpoint, right? Like he was the first commissioner. He was the guy who Blizzard entrusted in like pumping the tires for this league. And now
they
put
an asterisk by his name, you know, when they like put him in the record books as like first commissioner, but stepped down a year and a half.
Stepped down and moved on. So I don't know. You know, maybe the commissioner's a bogus title in esports, right? Even in a franchise league, maybe it is bogus. And
but it can't be like thing. It shouldn't be. I don't think that was their intention. Like, I think they wanted that. They want that to be
to
like
be an important role.
Yeah, like it as it
this
should
is not
be
part of Blizzard's plan. I would have loved to see what Blizzard's reaction when he walked up to them and said, "Guys, here's my 2 weeks. I'm out." Like, how long have they known?
Weeks.
Like, ahead of time to be like, "All right, so this dude's leaving. midway through the season. He didn't even
I bet it was going on for a bit because there had to be some back and forth negotiation between Blizzard and him, right? For them,
yeah, there
to,
had
like,
to been counter
want to like keep him and. Like, because they also know it's not the best look for this to be happening. So no. I'm sure this is something that has at least been discussed for a little bit. It's not an overnight decision.
Is it a killer of the league? No. Is it a good look? Definitely not. I'm a supporter of the league, but this definitely does kind of make me wonder what's going on behind the scenes. You know, was it a true money whip, or was this guy kind of like, look, guys, I'm looking out for future too, and I don't see this going on for another, you know, 20 years or whatever they're trying to bill it as. So I don't know. It's just not a good look. It's just simply not a good look for the league.
And for him, even though, yes, money was probably a big factor in it, if Fortnite now becomes a true esport and he gets some big bulk of the credit of that, that would also be a fantastic notch on his resume, right? Like
of
being
course.
Able to take the game where it's at, an already established big game, and turn it into a true esport. Like that would also be exciting for us as people that do an esport show to see Fortnite kind of truly enter the realm, because it's never really done
would
that.
Would it be exciting?
You know what I mean.
No, I agree.
I would love to be able to put Fortnite in a title of one of our videos.
Oh,
just to get the clicks. Just to get the clicks, just, bro. That's
it. I might throw Fortnite in this title. You know.
Good. Let's call Tfue, this the Nate Nancer.
Tfue versus FaZe Fortnite. Boom. It's the most listened to episode, just like that. That's how you work it. That's how you work those clicks.
Bro, I taught you everything you know on those thumbnails, those YouTube posts, everything. Invested.
Yeah, because Banks invented clickbait titles, let me tell you. Homie. All right, let's get into some e-news, shall we?
We shall.
CSGO, you had the CS Summit 4 wrap up over the weekend. As we mentioned, it's always a fun event. I kind of miss the old house.
Yeah.
They moved. I think the first one was the Smash Ultimate Summit was the first one at their new house, quote unquote. I think it's a warehouse, though. I think it's an office building that they've just designed to make it look like a house. Their last one was legit a house. Like, the dudes were playing in bedrooms. And like you saw the kitchen. This one, I don't even know if the stairs in the background are real, because I didn't see
like
anyone walk up and down them.
A lot of production value is now going into this to make it more event-like and not so much like summit-like we're used to seeing. So yeah, I agree. Like I also didn't dive into this tournament with it being a long weekend and just having other things to do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of missed more than I would have liked to here. But Vitality did come out on top, and I know, you know, looking at the stats, Zywoo was a monster in this tournament. And, you know, this is a, you know, he was one of the surprise players we talked about going into this year, of somebody that could really take it to the next level. And it's good to see them kind of rolling a little bit right now.
Well, Liquid dropping that one 2-0. So we'll see. The next summit event, I think, is coming up next month, in a couple of weeks. I guess now we're pretty much at the end of May. And it's going to be the Smash Summit. So that's Melee. And that's always a good one because that group of guys are just, they're goofy. So that's just normally more fun to begin with. So looking forward to that. We do have the Pro Leagues wrapped up, or at least the finals, so we know who's all going to be there. In ESL Pro League, that's coming up in a couple weeks, June 18th to the 23rd. Some notables there.
Not going to be in it.
Cloud9 will be there, so that's just as surprising of who is not in it, in my opinion. And Na'Vi failed to qualify for the finals.
FaZe needs to take that money that they're saving on Tfue and buy Simple out of that contract. Like, this has got to be the worst run team in all of esports.
What FaZe needs just to do is call up Tfue and be like, look, before you're out of this org, we're taking all that money that we were supposed to be taking
and gonna go
and
buy
then
Simple
buy
right
Simple.
Now Simple I mean, like, this guy is by far the best player in the world. And this team continues to fail and fail and fail. And it's going to be so depressing the day Simple retires from Counter-Strike and he had never won a championship. So, I mean, you know, you see positive signs from this team every once in a while. And then you see the other end of it, and it's just too much back and forth for the talent that he has. And so at this point, I'm ready for this like experiment with Na'Vi to kind of end, and I want to see him go onto an international team. And I really want to see him.
I don't even know if you could say it, if it's an experiment. Like, this has been Na'Vi for a while now.
You know what I mean? Like, this Na'Vi, this whole Na'Vi thing is just, it's not it. Like, I wanted it to work for him because it was cool with him going to the team that he loves, grew up loving.
Yeah, it was his hometown team. And I'm sure that sucks for him, though. You know, I feel for Simple. Like, no one wanted that team to work more than him. Like, I promise you that. We've talked to him about it, right?
We've done a Hori
after a loss before.
I said Hori. We've done a previous episode called The Story. I said the Hori. The Story of Hika. I would love to do the story of Simple at some point.
Yeah.
Because this guy's story from where he started off with the ban and then the issues that he had to now really being one of the good guys in the community and one of the best players to play this game ever. Just really, again, to see where they're at, crazy.
Yeah. ECS finals, those are actually coming up soon. June 6th is when they will kick off. That one's smaller. You got MIBR, Astralis is there. Complexity will be there as they take over for Rogue because Rogue kind of ceased there. Funny enough, Ninja is in these finals, and yet they are in the relegation series for ESL. So funny how that can just work out, where you're in the finals for one league and yet you're being almost relegated in the other. And I'm not going to lie. I watched the matches for these. I wasn't as invested in the regular season for these because their way they did their formats now, to me, are really confusing. I get them mixed up and it's just really weird. If a listener has like a ECS and ESL format for dummies, just shoot it over my way because I definitely need it. But that will be fun and interesting to see what happens there. We'll talk about that more, though, because those are still kind of a ways out. Gambit is stepping down. Not stepping down. They're taking a break from CSGO. Their active roster is being put on hold. Former major winner.
Yeah, since then, they've lost to Dren. They've lost Hobbit. They've lost Zeus. So it's a team that we don't really even recognize anymore in terms of that championship team to now. So not surprising because they were never going to be able to kind of reacquire that talent within the way they want to, you know, the way they run that org. And so they like to keep it in a certain demographic, and that's also not going to be possible, not enough talent. And so, yeah, for them to step down, it is a bummer. You don't see that too often, but we are seeing it a little bit more and more within CS. Like, it's just expensive, man. It's just expensive to maintain an average CSGO team.
And even more, too, when you think of all these, the more and more tournaments that pop up, like Blast Pro Series, I mean, if they're only six team events and you have to be invited to them, inviting a team like Gambit? Like,
No,
they're not. So it's just difficult to maintain that. What else is in CSGO here?
PETA is the head coach for Ninjas in Pajamas. He is going to be playing for Dennis, unfortunately, at the DreamHack Masters Dallas. That's a real bummer because Dennis had also just come back from a hiatus and had been playing well. Ninjas had started to kind of come into form. And again, like Dennis, white, European,
Name Dennis.
Name is Dennis. How are you having visa issues, bro? You're not coming from like some oddball country, you know. I can say it, like, not coming from like a Muslim or Indian country where there's like questionable, you know, not to say Indian has any questionable people, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just no reason he should be having visa issues. I don't understand how it's like a continuous thing with people from Australia, and you're seeing it from people from Europe and obviously Russia, China, like. Everybody seems to be having visa issues.
It's just America, don't you know?
I don't get it, man.
That's what I'm told. I'm just told that's why there can't be any tournaments in America.
PETA will be filling in for him, and it's unfortunate because this is going to be, you know, one of the bigger tournaments they'll be attending this year.
Overwatch. Everyone was hoping for this long break that things would get mixed up, right? And the commissioner leaving was not one of them. But everyone was really hoping for a 2-2-2 format. Two tanks, two supports, two DPS, mandatory. Make position play a thing in Overwatch. Market around those DPS players like they're your quarterbacks. and like they're the star of your league, like a DPS player is, and move on with it, right? Just accept the fact. But Blizzard is so stubborn in their way of, I'm going to get worked up talking about it. Apparently, it's not happening, though. They're still going to stick with the normal, hey, guys, just do your thing, and it's going to be goats, and people are still going to complain about it. I remember in Discord one time, me and some listeners were talking about a 2-2-2 format, and some of them were like, no, that would break the game. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know who also said would break the game? Is putting Hero Lock in. But guess what? That made the game better. Like, you're telling me, like, at one point in time, people were saying that, no, you should be able to play as many of the same heroes as you want. And back then, it was, the meta was 2 Winstons, 2 Tracers, 2 Lucios, every freaking map. It was awful. Blizzard said, well, that's the way we wanted it to be played. And then Blizzard said, well, nope, we lied. Let's put a hero lock in. Now, people and Blizzard are telling us the same thing. Nope. 2-2-2 is not the way the game is supposed to be played. Just admit that the game is organic and it can change. And you don't know what's best for it, Blizzard. Put 2-2-2 in. Just do it. It will be more exciting.
I agree.
But it's not happening right now. It will eventually. It's going to happen eventually. No doubt in my mind. It might start in contenders for them to test it out, but it's going to happen.
Better do it soon. There's not many contender teams left.
Right? At this rate, everyone's going to be out of it. In other news, Faceit announces the Faceit Pro Series for Apex. Were you expecting this, Anuj?
Hell no. And
are
I'm,
you
really,
excited?
I am excited, but I also still need Respawn and EA to like help this game along. Like, this is not going to be what saves the game, right? Like, most people that play these games are not esports viewers. So, like, the casuals have all left this game in the masses. So, I am very excited for this turn, like, for this setup. I really want to see this game do well. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed the game while I was playing it. I'm no longer playing it. But, yes, this is a really good first start. I still think this needs to be followed up by some major movement from the developers to keep this game fresh and alive. I don't care what it is. I don't even care if it's the stupid, like, getting us some badass-looking cosmetic stuff into this game to really just at least right. give it some buzz. But ideally, I want another map. Do some cool stuff. Like, you have a tournament available to you. This is your opportunity.
It is a good start, though.
If it doesn't work out... It is. With big name teams, 100 Thieves, Cloud9, Complexity, CLG, Dignitas, Fnatic, G2, Gen G, Misfits, NRG, T1 Esports, and TSM.
And this
name
is so, the way they did
that.
It is they said so far. Teaser, EchoFox also conveniently just signed an Apex roster. So you might be seeing EchoFox thrown in there. Like you said, these are not chump orgs joining this. Now,
no,
whether or not
all
EA
the big boys
and Respawn are paying them to do it, that's yet to be seen. Looking at you, Paladins. But I think it is a good start. It makes sense on why maybe they were so adamant of like, look, guys, we're going to put stuff in the game, but we want to make sure it's good. We want to make sure it's running smoothly and working. This would make sense if it was in the works for a long time. Again, this is where transparency would help. People would be a little bit more understanding if you gave us like a roadmap of like, look, we're going to have maps in. Because I still play Apex and I still enjoy it. Not as much as I used to, but, you know, I get on once or twice a week. I still think it's the best BR out there at the moment as far as just like competitiveness goes. But again, was not expecting this at all.
No.
So pretty cool. And Faceit.
It starts May 31st, so it's not too far away either. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll see this live for the summer, so.
It's also nice seeing that Faceit is doing it and not Respawn or EA. You know, like, if it was Respawn or EA, I wouldn't have been as excited because I'm like, all right, the dev is
Look,
pumping up
more,
their own
more
tournament.
Buy-in, right? We have more buy-in from a third-party org like Faceit, so.
I think a third-party doing it kind of pumps the tires up a little more.
Yeah.
Real quick, just a few other things. A lot of e-news today, man. I guess it's a long weekend, so that would happen. League of Legends is coming to mobile.
Crazy. That's a great idea. Like, it seems like such a... MOBAs seem like such a...
Kind of funny that it's
perfectly
not...
Perfectly suited
like,
game.
I don't know why, because I read that, and I was like, huh. There are MOBAs on cell phones. Yeah. So it is kind of weird. And League of Legends, the graphics fit right in to the mobile style.
No, it's perfect. I it'll be fun, especially as long as accounts are connected and all that stuff, right?
Of like course, I want to have. Don't let me.
Don't do something crazy here. But yeah, I'm. You know, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a move that should have happened sooner.
While waiting at work or something.
Or dropping off some deuces on the 8th floor, like, dude, I would definitely hop into an ARAM game.
Just taking on some. And it's like, Anuj, what? Why are your restroom breaks taking so long?
This kind of feeds into the next part of E-News here. This is why they are taking so long.
It is a good segue. It has been officially deemed by the American Health Association, whoever does this, I don't know. Gaming addiction is officially considered a disease.
Pro, con, positive, negative thoughts?
So longtime listeners of the show know that I'm a pretty level-headed thinking guy. I get it. I know a lot of people were out. Just how could they say that? Well, I guess I have a disease. Well, I guess I could file for disability now because they know that gaming is an addiction. And I'm like, all right, let's pump the brakes there, Sally. Like, no, they're not talking directly about you. But guess what? There are people who can suffer from addictions. Like, guess what? You know, I'm not a drinker, but I have drank alcohol. That doesn't mean, like, well, I guess because I'm not addicted to alcohol, no one is addicted to alcohol. Therefore, you can't be addicted to it, and it's not a disease. So deal with it.
Look, like, a level-headed person in this situation should be telling you that, yes, absolutely gaming addiction is a real thing.
Thank you.
If you've ever seen or known somebody that grew up where they changed their social life, their grades in school started dropping, like they weren't coming to class anymore because they were busy raiding or playing WoW 14 hours a day and couldn't leave it. Like, yes, like anything else, there's a porn addiction out there. There's alcohol and drug addiction out there. It's no different than anything else. Like,
if anything can evoke a emotional feeling, 99% of the time, there's going to be some addiction with it.
And it's not a knock on gaming or esports. Like, no. It has nothing to do with that. It's just showing that there are people that suffer from different addictions, and gaming can easily be one of them. So this is not going to hurt gaming in any way. Nobody needs to freak out. There's not going to be timeline limit, you right. know, like yeah. time
the
limits
government's
or anything
not gonna
like that.
Come and take your computer away. Like, chill out. Just,
look, to people that have it, it's real. I'm sure we honestly all know somebody that has,
you know what?
Had
if
some
anything,
form of it at
should
some
be
point.
Acting the exact opposite. They should be like, you know what? This is pretty awesome for the gaming community now, because now for people who are addicted to gaming, can't find help and have a good backing for it. Before, you know, people would be like, just stop playing the game. You need to get off your computer. And like, now they could be like, well, actually, no, it's not just as simple as getting up and walking away. For a lot of people, it is. Just like alcohol or drugs or porn or sex or gambling. I go to the casino and I gamble. And to me, it's fun. I walk away, and I know when to walk away. For other people, they don't know when to walk away. Gaming is fun. I know when to walk away.
I don't have the time. It's a problem.
Maybe you should see us. Maybe you should see a doctor.
I might have to. I might have a problem.
So it's weird. It's weird to me that people like were so angry about this. It's like they were taking a personal attack, and to me, I'm like,
I feel like everyone that plays games a lot is addicted to gaming. Like, that's not the case. There's a difference, guys.
I'm
relax.
Not addicted. You're addicted. It's just I don't know. I thought it was an interesting note to bring up on the show, and I don't know. Maybe we're just old, Anuj. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe our listeners feel different.
10:30 and I'm about to fall asleep. So yeah.
So anyways, if you feel differently, let us know on Discord or our Twitter at the Center Ring or anything like that. We would love to hear from you. But with that being said, that is the show. That is episode 159. It's done. It's in the books. Thank you for sticking around. If you listen to the whole thing, whether you didn't or not, love you all the same. Appreciate it. Let us know what you thought. at the Center Ring on Twitter. Again, leave a review on iTunes or anything else that you might be listening to us on. We appreciate it. Join our Discord. The link is on our Twitter profile. Let us be a part of the conversation, right? There's a lot of people in there. It's a good time. If you ever see us in voice chat, feel free to stop by. Say hi. In Twitch chat, Zen, thank you for sticking around. Border, you were in here. I saw you talk at one point. And Jazzy Josh. Okay, I saw you too. Thank you for stopping by on Twitch, saying hi. We appreciate it. We will be back next week. I don't know. It's going to be delayed. So just keep an eye on Twitter because DreamHack throws everything off because we got people flying in and all that good stuff. So it probably won't be Monday because I'll definitely need a recovery day, but it will be next week. But for a dude, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.
Phase the up.